You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On April 26th, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. Only in theaters April 26th. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to what I think I can say, and I'm not saying this flippantly, Billy Corbin, one of the most dangerous Because Miamis we have ever done. You have been warning the people for a long time in South Florida, anybody listening to this podcast, that what is happening on Miami Beach, the blighting of Miami Beach, the lack of care on Miami Beach, that the blood would spill closer and closer, and now literally to the Clevelander and to Ocean Drive, as we have state of emergencies in South Florida and as the gunshots get closer, because people have been dying and killed during the day, during the night around here in the Clevelander lobby. And this week we came into work with video that went viral of just us fire hosing in front of a tourist group, blood off the sidewalk because someone had been executed in cold blood in the street the second time it had happened in multiple nights. And then we do the predictable thing of curfews, state of emergency, and rinse, repeat. We'll do it again next year.
Literally rinse. Rinse the blood right off the sidewalk here on Ocean Drive. And in the video, there's a big group of people, a line of people. That is the Miami Design Preservation Board walking tour of the entertainment district, of the Art Deco district here on Ocean Drive, and they are waiting while the Miami Beach Fire Department hoses the blood from the sidewalk where a literal execution took place on Ocean Drive at about 3:30 in the morning, late, you know, Saturday, early Sunday, I should say, morning. And again, it's just all a bit of history repeating. And you and I had this conversation every time there is an obituary section on Ocean Drive, be it a holiday weekend, spring break, summer break, Memorial Day. But what's happening here is they have these emergencies, these so-called emergencies, but it's all this pearl clutching and all this, I'm shocked, but it's the same thing. So this like political theater of just like, we didn't see this coming, we didn't know what to do. The truth is they have the statistics. The police department actually has, they know regionally what percentage of schools are on spring break in a given week. So March 4th to 11th, 20% of schools are on spring break. The 11th to the 18th, which was last weekend, this is the big weekend, week two, they call it, 41%. So between the overlap of the previous week, suddenly this rush of 41%, that's the highest density weekend. And then this week now, the 18th through the 25th, is 23%. And then week four is like 9%. So it all just sort of...
Well, but this week we get the added bonus of Ultra, the music festival. So you've got drugs pouring into town.
Oh no.
And overdoses. Yeah, pouring into town, and they're not going to actually curfew. They voted against curfew.
They voted against curfew because it's too late. If they were going to take some kind of measures, they should have done it last weekend. Week two is, quote unquote, the problem weekend. It was the problem weekend last year when I think five people were injured by gunfire. It was the problem this past weekend when two people were killed and several were injured by gunfire. They know when the problem weekend is, they're just not doing anything about it. I will say what's impressive from the videos of the two shootings, that the police presence is palpable. Their response time is like seconds. It's pretty impressive. In the city of Miami over the bridge, people get shot and the cops don't show up for 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes. In Miami Beach on the holiday weekend, I was impressed with the response time. They're not doing what they need to do to fix the problem.
We'll get to that in a second, but you know that what happens with, again, a publicity that you've predicted because you've told us for a while that this area is actively being blighted so the real estate can be stolen, so that condos can be built here in the future, because this is very valuable property that people are being executed on.
Yeah, the dream is Sunny Isles. The dream is a condo canyon with multi-million dollar luxury condos. And the reason for that is what you create here, Dan, is you create this extraordinary tax base, this new tax base. You can only do it in Miami Beach on the Barrier Island by building up. And people won't take homestead exemption because these will be people's second, third and fourth homes, the people who can afford these, which means that they'll pay full freight. The city will make a ton of revenue and they'll put these businesses out of business that really helped to build Beach, the hospitality industry, the entertainment industry, the bar business, the DJs, the nightclubs.
We sound like old people talking about the ruination, but it's literally happening around us with crumbling buildings and people being shot in the street. What I want to ask you is, they are increasing police presence. That's what they always do in these instances. And then you get the state emergencies and nobody wants to be here because it's so hard. Billy, I'm not kidding you. I live right here. I live in the middle of it. I can now not leave my house on the weekend because I can't get back to my house because of all the barricades and all of the police.
But that's also the price you pay for living in a tourism district and an entertainment district. You do accept that there's going to be certain holiday weekends and times in which you're going to be hunkered down, basically. I don't come to the office during certain weeks and weekends because it's impossible to get on and off the beach. I mean, just getting off the beach is more than half of my commute. Just 30 minutes to escape Miami Beach. And the business owners are pissed because the best thing that the government can come up with is let's punish the business owners. By the way, the business owners, there's nobody getting shot inside these businesses. These businesses are relatively secure. People are getting shot and killed outside on the street where the government is supposed to be doing their part to keep people protected. And there was a clip, some very angry people. So they had an emergency, another one of these for the third or fourth year in a row, another one of these emergency Miami Beach commission meetings where they did not allow public comment. So people weren't business owners and residents and nobody was allowed to speak, so they started to yell.
The police did a good job. The businesses did a good job. They're all innocent. Why don't you hear something?
I don't have you removed. You gotta stop.
You don't have communication with the private sector, Mayor. That's happening today.
You gotta sit down.
You're a shit without a rat.
Ship without a rudder, I think, or ship without a route, he's saying. And he's wrong. They're totally listless. They don't know what to do. Mayor Magoo doesn't know what to do. And they panic, let's be honest, when they see a certain amount of density and high concentration of tourists of a particular pigmentation. That's the reality. And they only target those weekends, which is interesting because now the Winter Music Conference, what do they call, Ultra, is happening. And they're basically saying, like, well, we don't need these kinds of precautions during Ultra because it's a different crowd. It's a different weekend. Not to mention that the density is much lower. It's, you know, there's half as many schools on break than were on break last weekend. So people complaining that it's not spring break. It's not all spring breakers. In fact, a lot of the so-called outside agitators are really local because you don't get off a plane and have a gun, Dan. People are driving here from Fort Lauderdale with guns. People are coming from the mainland with guns and acting a fool and murdering people here in South Beach.
Well, now commissioners are talking about searching all the cars and metal detectors. So let's get to some of the worst ideas because it is the same thing every year. And it's been, it's many years now, Billy.
They're treating symptoms. These are Band-Aids on a cancer. No one is taking the initiative to really do what we've been talking about for years on this show and for me for 10 years with this community and its politicians, which is to do something for real and long term. But they came up with five pretty shitty ideas, Dan.
All right, let's do these in reverse order. Number five, the fifth worst idea on how to correct all of this spring break malfeasance.
The city has spent millions of tax dollars counter programming for white people. So basically they're hiring acts and artists and doing these sporting events on the sand and things to try to quote unquote attract a different audience.
I enjoyed. The music was plentiful all weekend long. It was great music. It was free music. Volleyball nearby.
Number four, the curfew and shutting down liquor stores at 6 p.m. It may make their jobs temporarily easier, but it doesn't come close to solving the problem. And it ultimately scapegoats private sector businesses who are the lifeblood of this community, who provide service jobs, industry jobs to thousands of workers who feed the tax base here in Miami Beach, which keeps your taxes low because you get so much money from the outsiders coming in. And there's no doubt that this is challenging to police because you have a city with about 100,000 full-time residents. But then on any given week, suddenly you have 200,000-300,000 people alone just in this 15 blocks. So it gets intense, but the curfew doesn't help. And what good does it do to shut down
I feel like we need to shorten these up.
Does it do to shut down a liquor store on Alton Road? What good does it do?
I'm just saying, with the fanfare, if we're going to do it 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, there's only so much fire hose Corbin we can handle here. You don't have to make it
Numero
quick.
Tres.
You've got a lot of information, but we've got a lot of show to get to as well. Number three.
They suggested that this weekend you need an ultra ticket in order to get to Ocean Drive. I don't even know I think the cheapest ultra ticket's like $600. I don't even know how to start with how stupid of an idea that is. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Number two.
Metal detectors on Ocean Drive everywhere.
That's amazing.
Like, what are they? Jesus, I don't know how they intend to do that, but you've got Stephen Miner, this putz. This commissioner is such a reactionary putz, this guy. He doesn't have any ideas. He just kvetches and kvetches and kvetches. Listen to this putz.
I gotta tell you, I'm a little frustrated what I'm hearing, because I keep hearing, and this we've had the same conversation last year, not to take away, I know you made the best efforts, but I don't view any other option at this point than doing metal detectors. There's literally zero option. I'm telling you right now, I am going to fight for that to the core, because I am not going to go through next year and have dead people in our streets. I'm just not going to do it.
Convince it.
Zero options, Dan. Such a putz.
Putz is a great insult.
Oh,
it's still a great insult.
You should see every time he opens his mouth, I cringe.
I don't know why. I don't even know what a putz actually is. Putz is an excellent insult. It's a word. I don't want it on me. It
has nothing to do with death, right? Nothing to do with golf.
No,
I don't know. It's a putz. Like, there's a Z. I don't know what an actual putz is other than that guy who was just talking.
But like, he sounds like a putz, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. It's a great insult. Number one.
Shutting down the causeways to Miami Beach.
Yeah.
Strangle the beach.
All right. You've had good ideas, though. You've told these people how to police this area for a long time. But let's get to some serious solutions instead of always just being the critic. Do you have actually five good ideas for what they can actually do? Things that can actually be implemented, even though they won't be in the next couple of weeks, can't be this quickly.
Yeah. And it's not a top five, but it's a five-step process. So we'll go from one to five. Number one, permanently close Ocean Drive to vehicular traffic. Number two, don't do it the way they do it now, like temporarily throwing up barricades, making it look like a green zone in Iraq, because people react that way. It looks all very ad hoc and very sloppy and shitty. It looks like a mess, so it begets a mess and a messy scene. So you need to actually redevelop Ocean Drive and make it one with Lummis Park. Make it a real beautiful promenade and extension of the park, like Lincoln Road and like Lummis Park.
You understand the music of this, right?
I get it. I'm trying to save Miami Beach, Dan.
I understand.
Miami Beach.
Okay.
I'm trying to get you and Val to have some sleep at night. Okay.
Let's save it. However, let's do it with a quick, pithy sentence on the front that can get some fanfare, and then you can bloviate.
Number three, cameras everywhere on the new Ocean Drive, with trained law enforcement professionals surveying the crowd during those high density weekends to flag problems before they become problems, to start to intervene, to get law enforcement where they need to be, maybe before they need to be.
But Billy,
there,
I got to tell you that there were no shortage of cameras. And in fact, you made me uncomfortable with the things that you were posting, because it's so graphic to see an execution.
These are cell phone cameras. I'm talking about law enforcement setting out, because this is a public park. There's no privacy issues with this. That's part of the problem, is like some of these various ideas they have are just unconstitutional. At their own emergency meeting, their own city attorney said, we can't do a bunch of this stuff because it's just illegal. This would be totally, totally legal, which leads us to number four.
Number two.
Well, I'm going.
Well, but I mean, just respect the process.
No, but this isn't a top five. It's a top five.
No, but it is a top five. He did the fanfare.
Trying to save Miami Beach.
You've got to do it. Yeah, I understand. I'm trying to entertain the people while you save Miami Beach.
Trying to save the whole city. The whole damn city.
Yeah, I understand. You're a real hero. You should do the show on a stallion, on a white stallion.
Trying to save the city.
Number two.
Number four. It is a complete retraining, redesign, and reimagining of the policing program in the entertainment district. I am suggesting more police, but I'm suggesting, and I'm suggesting better paid police, but I'm also suggesting retrained police, dealing with hospitality training, dealing with identifying threats better, different uniforms, integrating the police as part of the tourism scene. Think Times Square, New York, a Miami Beach police substation, all Miami viced out, glass brick, neon, make it Instagrammable just like NYPD in Times Square. Make the police a part of the experience and a part of the tourism experience, so you just see them everywhere and you think twice before, I don't know, you pull out a gun and execute somebody on Ocean Drive.
Number one.
Finally, then, obviously all of this has to be done in coordination, as you heard the man screaming at the meeting, with the private sector and with the businesses, the responsible business owners in the entertainment district. Now we can talk about counter-programming, Dan. Counter-programming is number five. They're doing it all backwards. They're trying to counter-program for a crowd that's not here. They need transformation, not militarization. They need a long-term strategy. It's not going to make everybody happy this weekend. But again, Band-Aids on a cancer has not helped Miami Beach.
My favorite form of the counter-programming, though, when it was just air and sea show, when the military presence was so strong that it was just fighter planes over Ocean Drive.
Well, they're doing that again every Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
You'll have it back.
I know. I'm well aware. Yes, that's what the neighborhood has become. Fighter planes as counter-programming to assassinations. Sure, that's what I live in the middle of. We have a 1-800 number that we are giving the audience right now. It's a voicemail complaint line. Basically, it's so that you can flame me and Billy with whatever it is you got. I don't even want to sell it another way. Say what you got. Many of you hate me. Many of you hate him. We want to hear from you. We want to put your voices on the air. We want to encourage all of this.
Also general complaints about Miami.
Yeah, whatever. 786-505-9842. 786-505-9842. It's a dumpster. It's a grounds for people to call, people to use the phone in an old-fashioned way.
Think of it as Ocean Drive. Just shit all over there, piss all over there.
786-505-9842. A Miami 1-800 number that's not a 1-800 number. Voicemail complaint line.
It's not toll free.
It's not toll free.
All regular rates apply on your cell phone.
Not 1-800.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you? I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail palms. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail palms quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
Is your bracket busted? Then State Farm's here to help with their second chance bracket. Play free during round of 16 for a second chance at a share of the cash. Check it out today at DraftKings.com/State Farm.
Appreciate the producers doing the important work of reminding me that putz is Yiddish for penis. onto other important matters.
He looks like a putz, too. He doesn't just sound like a putz.
Speaking of putzes, many of them are in session right now, and I want you to explain to the audience before we unveil the entirety of this segment why women's bodies are now again at risk in a way that's public and kind of unfathomable in 2023.
Speaking of putzes, in the Florida legislature, for the video, we got to show a shot of the Florida Capitol. Looking up by like Tennessee, looking up at the Capitol, it is shaped like a cock and balls. The building is this tall building, and then on either side are the two domes of the House, the State House and the State Senate. So it looks like a cock and balls.
Thank you, Billy.
Looking up the street there.
Also, very I graphic. Asked you about
it's a cock and balls filled with putzes.
Okay.
Filled with putzes.
Thank you. And putzes who are dominating like the woman's body.
It's like a penis inception, Dan. Like penises inside of penises.
With men just making powerful decisions on behalf of women that are
well, Dan, who better,
invasive.
Who better to make decisions about women, their bodies, and what they can learn than a bunch of old white men, Dan? Bienvenidos a DeSantistan.
The free state of Florida, most free of any land. A proud phallic peninsula, our home, DeSantistan.
So what do tampons, pregnancy tests, and crusty old white guys have in common? I wish it were nothing, but this is Florida. Our fearless leaders had the wisdom to propose banning abortions so early that by the time any of us realizes that we missed our period, it will be too late to do anything about it. It's so extreme. It's as if these men have no idea how our bodies work. Speaking of periods, those word-banning morons were trying to ban talking about periods in schools. That's right, our menstrual cycles. You know, during the time in our lives when little girls first get their period? I can't even imagine being a girl right now hearing adults argue about whether or not I'm allowed to talk about a normal bodily function. Again, absolutely clueless about how our bodies work. Either that, or maybe the female genitalia are just that scary and they've got to make laws about it every chance they get. Sounds like a lot of people that rarely get a chance to even be near a woman, and it shows. Now I'm actually waiting to see if they're gonna have like a don't say poop bill, don't say balls. Now that's gonna create some serious confusion. Thankfully, after so many people have spoken out about how stupid the don't say period bill is, these crusty old white guys have actually amended the bill. Goes to show you that fighting back actually matters. But in Florida, we really can't let up because they're canceling anything and everything just because somebody wants to run for president.
The disenfranchised and the woke cry when their books are banned. A Christo-fascist paradise here in DeSantistan.
Do you think you should tell the folks why I'm here and like with no sleeves? I feel like
I feel like we should not explain that at all.
All right, no, I'm gonna have to help.
I feel
him
like
out.
None of us should have sleeves. I like we should change our shirts.
I want him maximum comfort.
Do you
want
to wear a Joe Correa wife beater, Dan,
no,
for this segment?
Thank you.
I have him
hit
in the
button.
Car.
Hit the button.
Thank you. I don't want to start that way.
All right.
All right. We will start that way then. Yule Vasquez is with us, and you may do this with Yule, a sprawling acting career, but you may do a I know that guy from. It's Petey on Severance, it's John on Russian Doll, it's Bob on Seinfeld, it's Ruben the Cuban on The Sopranos, it's Bad Boys 2. What are you laughing about there?
Ruben the Cuban.
Ruben the Cuban on The Sopranos.
Jose Battle in Godfather of Harlem.
Currently on the air.
Yeah.
And White House Plumbers. HBO does all the good stuff, and he's going to be a Watergate burglar here shortly. I'm sure it will be excellent. He's excellent, and HBO's stuff is excellent. He wants me to apologize on behalf of, I don't know, ARMS or his Cuban people. He doesn't want to be dressed this way. He's feeling a little insecure.
I came
he
from
just
the gym.
Came from the gym.
This is Ocean Drive, Dan. Everybody's got their guns out on spring break.
I don't know why you would be ashamed of that. You are on the beach. You grew up here. This is how you would dress when you are in Miami coming home.
Yes. Waiting for that. Sorry, that was for my guns line. That was
that's
yeah,
amazing. That's
I think it's a testament to you guys' power that I literally would not even go home and change. I came straight here. I didn't want to disappoint anyone.
Well, thank you for being here. And
I'm sorry, speaking of your wardrobe, is that a Martha of Miami hat? That you're wearing.
By the way, this is a Martha of Miami hat. Thank you for pointing that out. I love Martha of Miami. I don't know her. I bought the hat, but I love what she's doing, and it's a great, the whole thing is
one,
great.
One of my favorite gifts for out-of-towners, like Miami, just, you know, souvenirs, she has these adorable little keychains that are cafecito cups, the little baby, like, cafecito cups with, like, coffee kind of, like, plastered in there. It's adorable. I love that place on Bird Road.
The candles are great. The whole thing is fantastic.
You are Miami Guano. Like, you go back all the way to when this place was what?
It was nothing. It was nobody would come here. In fact, most of my friends lived in Miami. I would say, hey, you guys want to come over? They'd be like, no, you come to us. Nobody wanted, you couldn't give this away, man. They called it God's waiting room. It was all viejitos, you know, little old folks on these hotels, just literally like retirement homes. It was desolate and depressed.
And you hung out here at the Clevelander as a kid.
It was my favorite pool. Yeah, the Clevelander was my favorite pool. Like I was telling you guys, because it had a ledge, and I knew I could sit on the ledge and I wouldn't drown.
So like pre-wet t-shirt contest days.
Your family had no money, I would guess. This place was broke. Like the idea that all this land would be valuable now, when you were coming here, it's because what your family could afford. This was luxury for a newly arrived or fairly newly arrived Cuban family.
We lived at the oceanfront motel, which is, the building is still there, but it's not called that anymore. I don't know what it's called now, but that's where we lived, in a tiny one room with my mother and my sister and my grandmother. We wound up moving to 15th Street and Pennsylvania Avenue to another studio, but better. Again, I would sleep, so I'd share a bed with my grandmother, and my sister had her own bed, and my mother slept on a couch. That's how we did it. You know, my mother came to this country, two kids, didn't speak English, single mother.
It's crazy to think that your career, that the arts, that from something that wasn't free, that you would then be able to make an entire career in the arts with that freedom from there.
I was thinking about that the other day, to be quite honest with you, because when I think about where I came from, you know, because, you know, we all have moments when we're like up, down, whatever, you know what I mean? I was thinking where I came from. The fact that I'm still here and going, the fact that I can been earning a living as an actor for, you know, 30 years is already a jackpot. So, yeah, I mean, my mother sacrificed everything. My mother worked at Publix. I, in turn, worked at Publix. My aunt worked at Publix.
I did that stuff, too. The bag boy at Publix. That was the proudest job a young Cuban boy could have.
I took it, man. I was like, because I was playing in a band, and I just, whatever, I had a job, and I could buy, like, guitar strings, and I was playing in a band. I rehearsed in a house on Alton Road.
A hair band.
That came.
Your hair, tremendous hair.
Tremendous hair. I still have hair.
You were a rock star. You were a Lothario. You were a Cuban man with a lot of hair trying to make his way into the music industry.
Yes, I was. You know, if you can have him on the show, you should have him. Rudy Zarzo. You know who that is?
I do not.
He's a bass player. He's Cuban. Came from Cuba when he was 12. And he wound up playing with Ozzy and Whitesnake. I mean, Cuban.
Could have been you.
Could have been me, but he's, you know, he came from Cuba. He was older, and he had his brother, and they were rockers. You know what I mean? And they went, I mean, he took it as far. He's still playing. You know what I mean? But he's an amazing guy to talk to. Talk about a guy. When I was a kid and I wanted to play heavy music, there was no Cubans playing heavy music. You know, all my heroes were British guitar players. The last thing that I thought that I wanted to be was Cuban. I wanted to be like Jimmy Page. You mean I wanted to be a Brit? It's crazy. Because I think about everything I loved.
And was music your entree into film? Because Mambo Kings was your first film, right?
Mambo Kings is my first film. When I was a kid, I acted because my mother was an actress, but I didn't want to be an actor. I wanted to be f***ing Jimmy.
Oh, rock star.
Can I curse on
you? Yeah.
I wanted to be Jimmy Page.
Thank you. He's 4 years old. Yeah, I want to apologize on behalf. Yes, you can curse all you want. I give him less permission to curse.
No, man, I acted as a kid, but I didn't. And then that came sort of later, you know, after I was in a band in New York that we'd gotten dropped from a label. Never a good feeling. And then acting came back in through a woman called Holly Lebed, who was an agent in New York, who said, hey, Oliver Stone is casting this film about the Doors and they're looking for band dudes, you know. And I had crazy long hair, as you know, and as you mentioned. And so I went on this audition, you know. I met this casting director called Billy Hopkins. So I was not cast in that movie. Then I started taking an acting class, and then he brought me back for this movie, The Mambo Kings, and I started reading for that film.
Do you have any good Oliver Stone batshit crazy stories?
I have an amazing two Oliver Stone stories. I read for him for the JFK movie, and I remember it was in the basement of Lincoln Center in New York, and I came in, and he was sitting behind a desk piled up with stuff, and he had these dark glasses, and the casting director, Billy Hopkins, was in a corner. And Billy Hopkins says, "Hey, oh, this is Yul, and Yul is Cuban." He goes, "Oh, he goes, yeah, you're Cuban." I go, "Yeah." He goes, "You know about the Bay of Pigs invasion?" I go, "Yes, of course." I said, "My uncle Raymond was in the Bay of Pigs invasion." He goes, "Which side?" And I said, I literally said, "Side that f***ing lost." I was f***ing stunned, you know. I mean, like, I was stunned, but I was like, "No, you ain't getting away with that, yo. I'm not doing that with you." Hey. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's crazy, man. It's amazing. Amazing question.
And you have another one?
Then I do. Then years later, I was reading for him for another film, and I'm reading, and all of a sudden the doors explode open, and a little kid with a giant, like, dog come running in the room. It was his son. He's like, "Dad," screaming about something. And I was like, in the middle of reading, and he goes, "You can't come in here now. You have to, like, I'm in the middle of a thing." You mean, I was like, I'm holding the fucking sides in my hand. I'm like, literally, like, I'm just trying to get a job. You know what I mean? Like, dude, I had like $12 in the bank. I was like, "Are you kidding me? Like, is this even happening to me? Like, I can't even, this is crazy."
Be remiss not to leapfrog to Seinfeld, or flash forward, if you will, to Seinfeld. Sure. Because everybody, I mean,
well,
probably,
what do you get asked
in the
most
streets,
about? What is the role you're most associated with?
People recognize me a lot from Seinfeld. And that was, like, you have to understand, it's 1995. I did the first one. That's kind of bananas. I mean, that's the power of that show, you know, the power of the reach of that show. Yeah, people love that show. It's still on, you know. And then lately, you know, Severance, PD, Severance, and Bad Boys 2.
On Apple.
People, you know.
Yeah, because Bad Boys 2 is on all the time also.
What an amazing thing to watch television change that way, though, right? Because Severance, Ben Stiller, I've always admired his work and his choices and how exacting and crazy he seems about trying to do the next best thing. Severance is ambitious. And it was cool to have that, you know, the guy who topped out once at Tropic Thunder showing that kind of range on something.
I mean, he's insanely talented, and he's an incredible director. I don't know if you saw Escape at Dannemora.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, on it's Showtime. Incredible. It felt like he was one of the first to discover that, oh, I can do some play things in the streaming world that'll be interesting to people. That doesn't have to be a film that's an hour and 50 minutes that might bring actors over because they want to do a 10-hour movie.
Correct. That's exactly right. And he has, you know, he'll take a risk. You know what I mean? And Severance was this insanely ambitious thing, which we shot in the height of the pandemic, you know, literally September of 2020.
And it's my obligation to bring it back to Seinfeld because
let's go back to Seinfeld.
You left right ahead of 2022 already, and I'm like in 95.
Because it's an artful choice, and he's mentioning Seinfeld was in 1995.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
But they could have auditioned 1,000 actors for the role of Bob.
Correct.
None of them would have done with it what you did with it. So what? Who did you channel? How did you? What was the inspiration for that?
Well,
character?
So I was in L.A., and the woman I mentioned earlier, Holly Levitt, who got me the audition for the Oliver Stone movie, says, "There's a last-minute audition at CBS Radford. It's for Seinfeld." And I had never actually at that point watched the show. So I go there, and it's one of those things, you know, it happens in L.A. a lot. It's last minute, and you get the pages, you read right there, you go in and read. And so I got it, and I went, it's called Bob the Intimidating Gay Guy. That's literally what it's called.
On the script.
On the script, yeah. And I get the pages.
It's funny just by itself.
Exactly. It's insane. But I go, what am I going to do with this? And I thought, well, the most intimidating human I knew at that point was my mother, you know, who was a very intense Cuban lady. So I literally go in the room and I do, it's basically an impersonation of my mother. And I go, I remember Jerry and Larry are sitting there because this thing started working the next day.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
that's how they do that, right?
Yeah, because Spike Ferriston, who wrote that episode, was a right, knew the soup Nazi, so he wrote the soup Nazi episode because he worked at SNL, and they would get soup from the soup Nazi. and I live by the Soup Nazi. It's a real guy. It's a real thing, that guy. That guy. Although he doesn't, he got really angry with them. You know what I mean? For calling him that. You know what I mean? You could see why.
I can't see why. I don't understand. Why would he be mad about that?
But the guy's really intense, though. The thing is all real. So I go in, I do this thing, and they look at me and they go, "What was that?" And I go, "Well, it's..." That's an impersonation of my mom, kind of thing. Like, they're like, "Do it again." So I did it again. And they're like, "Wait outside." So, you know, you do think actors would go in and out, and they would say, "Okay, you two guys can leave. You three guys stay," which is not awkward at all. I mean, you know, so
it's a beauty pageant or something.
It's nerve wracking. It's also very vulnerable. Now, the three of you do your best work right now for a job. Compete,
for tomorrow.
Bore on the floor. Everybody competing. Gross vulnerabilities at stake.
So vulnerable, man. Yes. So vulnerable. You know, and everybody there wants it. They want a gig because they need a job. So I wind up getting it. I go back in again, and they wind up hiring me. You know what I mean?
Because you channeled your mom and were an intimidating gay guy as your mom. Correct. As your old Cuban mom, who was Cuban cliche, chancleta as punishment?
Chancleta or anything that was close. Even some things that were larger than chancletas would fly across the room.
She would throw flip-flops. What other large things would get thrown of discipline?
Anything that was around. I remember one day I had a BB gun, and I was being like a wise ass with it. And my grandma took it from me and shot me in the ass with it. Which was, you know.
Abuela. Good work. Good work. That's abuela discipline right there.
That's Cuban discipline, man. You know, listen. But that's so. I just want to tell a Seinfeld story, which I think was one of the coolest things for me, was the guy who plays my boyfriend is John Paragon. Now, do you guys know who John Paragon is?
From Pee Wee's Playhouse.
He was John B. the Genie.
Mecca Lecca High. Mecca Heiny Ho.
Exactly right. So when I got the job and I realized who he was, that was almost more excited about that than. In doing Seinfeld.
That's where you're...
You know, I had no idea. That show changed my trajectory, like, radically.
Your 6 degrees of separation from Pee Wee Herman is two steps away.
Before we get to White House Plumbers, what he's doing with HBO, so that people understand how sprawling this man's career is, you want to play a game...
It's ridiculous.
...of 6 degrees of separation. There's no one that you'll be able to mention that he won't be just a degree or two having worked from.
Six degrees of Yul Vasquez, I think, is bullshit. I think it's much closer to, like, 2 or 3 or max 4 degrees, I would have to think.
You might stump me. Let's see.
Let's try. Okay. Madonna.
My wife is in a movie with Madonna.
Get out of here.
Called, a John Schlesinger movie.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking Tom Hanks, A League of Their Own, and you worked with Tom Hanks.
I did Tom Hanks.
So wait, but it gets even...
too closer. My wife became friendly with her. Yeah. There's a John Schlesinger movie. It's Rupert Everett and Madonna.
I remember that movie.
Yeah, My wife is in that.
Okay. Michael B. Jordan.
I'm friends with Andy Garcia, who has Lakers tickets.
You sound nervous. You sound like you're worried. You sound like you wish to impress us.
I thought you meant you're talking about the actor.
No, I mean the actor, Michael B. Creed.
He might not know who Michael B. Jordan is. That's possible, is it not?
I know who Michael B. Jordan is. Yes. I think I don't.
Who was on Friday Night Lights with Kyle Chandler.
Oh, and I did, that's right.
Bloodline
with Kyle Chandler. Okay,
You're leading him to his answers there. He doesn't need, you're taking him. You know that he's connected to everybody. Why don't you just play the game instead of him and just tell us how he's associated to everybody
Lady
in Hollywood.
Gaga.
Please tell me.
Bradley Cooper.
Oh, Bradley Cooper. Yeah, yeah.
18.
Bradley, 18, that's 18. Right. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Bradley Cooper.
All right. Marlon Brando.
Well, I work with Johnny Depp.
Oh, shit.
And I've known Johnny for a long time.
In music or in movies?
I know Johnny from here.
In a band's probably, yeah. Right?
Well, Johnny's first wife was my ex-girlfriend.
What?
So Lori Allison, who lived on Alton Road, became Lori Depp. That's his first wife one of the celebrity-wise, but yeah. Yeah, yeah. Johnny's
then, course,
a great guy. I've known and
to Marlon Brando.
But how do I connect?
We went Marlon Brando to The Score with Robert De Niro.
Right.
To Casino with Sharon Stone. To Basic Instinct with Michael Douglas, to Traffic.
Correct. except I just worked with De Niro in Greece.
Oh, shit. So we just...
So that movie's coming out next year. It's called Tin Soldier. So.
My last one.
Okay.
Princess Jasmine.
That's my wife. Princess Jasmine is my wife. Yes. I'm married to a Disney princess.
Yula's married to
I'm married to a Disney legend. You can't even make that shit up.
Billy,
what a life! From the Clevelander pool.
From the Clevelander pool.
It's a whole new world.
We have failed to publicize what it is that he is joining us for. White House plumbers.
Yes, his grandma shot him in his Mecca Lecca Heine Ho. Also,
All right. Undeserved. Wildly undeserved. White House plumbers on HBO. I guess we're not going to talk to him about it.
I also love that, like, you have played Jose Battle and now White House plumber. You played these sort of, like, legendary real life
Bernard Parker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. It's so cool.
Listen, if I died tomorrow, it was a good run. And now, after having done this, I've written the icing on the cake, baby.
Can we talk about the face merkins in White House Plumbers? Those aren't real mustaches, right? Those are face merkins.
Thoreau's mustache is real.
No.
Yeah, that's real.
He's Liddy, right?
Yeah, he plays Liddy.
He's got the craziest of them all. Yeah. That's like some Tombstone shit.
That's unbelievable. But the craziest transformation is mine.
Yeah, you look.
That's completely insane.
You're like in the first shot, and the camera's kind of like dollying down. I've just started to watch the first episode. It reminds me a lot of, we did a doc called 537 Votes about the 2000 presidential election, and we did it like a political heist. And this plays like a heist movie. Like, the score is all kind of, it's a little jazzy and cool. And I didn't recognize you. The camera passes right by you. I said, oh, I had to rewind.
The mustache,
I
was
like,
oh shit, is that glorious.
You? Well, the glasses and the hair.
Oh yeah, but that's a disguise from what I look like in the film. I have a bald cap and a comb over.
Get out of here.
Oh, no, dude, wait till you see this.
I'm getting into it now.
Bernard Barker, Cuban Jew. Nobody realizes he did time in a Nazi war camp.
No shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I told David Mandel, I was like, he's seen worse shit than you could fucking do to this guy, that any American court could do to this guy. Like, that guy was iron. Amazing story of that guy. I've gone off track. I'll never be asked back.
You're fine. Thank you. No, we've enjoyed your company. We got more of the arms than we deserved. Thank you for being on with us. We appreciate you coming through.
You guys, honestly, this is awesome, man. I'm a huge fan of you guys, the show, everything. I love what you guys are doing. I love the shit Billy's making. I love what you're doing for Miami. Keep going, man, and thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Is your bracket busted? Then State Farm's here to help with their second chance bracket. Play free during round of 16 for a second chance at a share of the cash. Check it out today at DraftKings.com/State Farm.
As many of you know, Billy is a loser. Always loses.
Goddamn.
Tries very hard to win. Is a strong, strong believer in noble things and always loses to corruption. But occasionally we have good news. He has promised us good news. We haven't had time to get to good news because there's so much bad news. But we're going to do it this week. You say you have three bits of good news. Victories for hashtag Because Miami, a Billy Corbin enterprise that rarely gets victories.
Yes, a rare Because Miami win. We've covered it multiple times on this program before. We've had some guests about it. The Circle of Brotherhood is a fabulous organization that does major violence prevention and wellness work in the city of Miami, particularly in the black communities of the city of Miami. And they were promised, you'll recall, back in October of 21, Francis Suarez, Mayor Ponzi Bostalita.
Hold on a second.
Presented them with a $1 million oversized check in the ultimate Ponzi Bostalita moment, and then they didn't get the money. You might remember this very impassioned, not even a plea, it was really a go f*** yourself from one of their head organizers, Leroy Jones, at a city commission meeting.
Now, the mayor of Miami called us here, said that he was awarding the Circle of Brotherhood some funding because of the work that we've been doing in the community. When we got here, he unveiled a check for $1 million. It was all on his social media. It was all in the newspaper. In fact, even to this day, people still think we got this money. They think we got the money. We get an email from the budget office saying it's $250,000. One time, a commissioner called me ungrateful because I had the audacity to ask for a little more money. I was ungrateful because I wanted a little more money to serve my community. I was ungrateful. So maybe you might call me ungrateful again today. The mayor promised us $1 million. We want $1 million. We're not taking $250,000. So if $250,000 is on the agenda for us to take it, we don't want it. We are not going to take less than what we are worth anymore in the black community. The budget department sent me an email saying it's not $1 million anymore. It's $250,000. We don't want the $250,000. We're not trading anything for $250,000. We're not trading who we are, the brotherhood. You know what? We ain't bowing down.
Thank you. Thank you.
We are not. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Dan, they held out, and 15 months later, they finally got their $1 million. They didn't settle for $25,000 or $250,000 or half a million.
Nice.
They got every penny
nice.
That they were promised by the racists in the city of Miami.
A noble fight. Congratulations to all involved. The second bit of good news.
Well, Dan, I've got good news and kind of bad news about Miami Coin. The good news is the price has finally stabilized at 0.00035, about 99.4%. down from its all-time high. So that would mean if you invested $100 in Miami Coin in September of 21, you'd now have about a nickel and a half of your money left.
A ripoff, like you said, yeah. from the beginning, near Decoin.
And so the bad news, though, is that the reason the price is finally stabilized is because it was delisted from the only centralized cryptocurrency trading platform in which it was listed, and that is OKCoin. And so we now have a funeral, if you will. We're going to sit Shiva for Miami Coin, followed by a brief eulogy from me.
It's called Miami Coin. The city of Miami, through Miami Coin, could generate enough taxes so that our residents don't have to pay 1 cent in tax.
That's incredible.
And the revenue that we generate from the staking, the winnings, if you will, we're going to give it as a dividend to all of our residents in Bitcoin.
A year ago, Miami Coin was worth 5 cents per coin. Now Miami Coin is basically worth nothing.
The crypto exchange, OKCoin, has suspended trading in your city's Miami Coin. Now, what happens now?
It's unfortunate that the coin didn't survive, but it's not unexpected. What has suffered is the people who invested in it.
Grand opening, grand closing.
How was that good news? How is it good news? How did you contrive a scenario in your head that makes it... Is it just because you're right?
I think my eulogy will answer your question, Dan.
$5.
I told you so.
Really?
That's it. That's my eulogy.
Wait a minute. That is.
I can't drop the mic because it's not a mic stand.
No, I guess.
Can I take this mic off? Can I drop this mic?
No, okay.
How do I get this mic off here?
All right. Congratulations. A rare victory for Billy Corbin. And now a third rare victory for Billy Corbin. What is the third one?
It's not a victory for me.
And only your victories involve eulogies, by the way.
It's not.
That's how dark it is around here.
Listen, for my people, death, it's the celebration of life. That's what a Shiva is. It's a celebration of life. You know, it's not sad that they're gone. We're happy that it was here at all.
What is our third bit of good news?
So there is a...
I'm so tired of you.
There is a crypto entrepreneur by the name of Ryan Crawford, also known as Brody. He called himself a whiz kid. He developed a coin called Cheetah Coin. Cheetah as in the animal, not like Tom Brady. And you're not going to believe it, Dan, but it crashed and he made off... allegedly with nearly $1 million in cash and coin from his investors. Some of his investors say this was a scam from the jump. He has now been indicted on multiple counts of wire fraud. This was a scheme that he ran entirely out of Miami. He was arrested on the road in Colorado and is now being extradited back. And his investors are very, very happy about that. And here, for our Miami moment, is some collection of video of Ryan Brody Crawford. First, when he was at peak hubris, all the way down to him regretfully admitting that he lost everybody's money.
We're about to take over the world.
Yeah, y'all have no idea what's about to happen. CheetahSwap is about to blow the up. So just like move my stop ups to guarantee profits. Every single time, like no matter what happens.
I don't lose much, but when I do, it's like in real situations, like with you guys. And I'm sorry, like I actually am really sorry.
The apocalypse is upon us. Billy, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye to the people. Cocaines.
Hey, it's Mike, and I know you were hoping for an update on those fishtail ponds in my backyard. Well, have I got news for you. I actually got lighting installed, and I can change it with an app. Beautiful fishtail ponds lit up red, depending on my mood. If my hockey team wins, we light those suckers red. Anyways, I like being outside. I like looking at those fishtail ponds. You love hearing about it. But what's in my hand other than my app changing the lighting? A Miller Lite is in my hand. That's right, because I know when a Miller Lite is in my hand, I make a good time, Miller time. I take that first sip, I know immediately I made the right call. Nothing goes with my fishtail ponds quite like a Miller Lite. It makes everything so much better. And I'm going to have some people over. I'm going to toss them that beautiful white can. They're going to say, heck yeah. And they're going to have that first sip and know, just like me, that they made the right call. Times change, but you can always enjoy the great taste of Miller Lite. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.